we in the communion, we kind of focused on having patience with God. And in this text, it's more about having patience with each other. And I don't know which one is harder. Both are kind of challenging. One thing, I think it's good to read scripture multiple times. And I really feel like this text is really about unity in the church. And something that's not in my notes that I just noticed as Wade was reading that I'm going to share is it said the something along the lines of the insults. Here, we'll go back. The insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. I normally read that as like, hey, whenever someone's insulted, I'm with you. I'm suffering with you. I get that. But I think he's almost saying the opposite here. I think Paul's saying, when you insult your brothers and sisters in Christ, you're insulting me. And so bear that in mind as he's in Romans, it's all about getting Jewish Christians and Gentile Christians to play nice together. And so I really think that's what he's getting at there. But that's, I just wanted to add that in there because that's not in my notes. And I think that's important. At the All Church Retreat, I keep bringing this up, this activity we did where we poured whatever fruit of the Spirit we needed the most, we kind of poured into a cup. And so I did this really unscientific study of taking a picture and seeing what we needed the most of. And you can see here, patience, we really didn't drink that much. I guess we don't need much patience. Or at least we self-diagnosed, patience isn't what I need the most of, because we really didn't take a whole lot of that. Or maybe we've heard the old adage, don't pray for patience, because then God puts annoying people in your life. And so none of us wanted that. So nobody said, hey, I want patience. But the scripture envisions patience with others as meaning putting up with the failings or shortcomings of others. Even when you are right and they are wrong, you're not cruel to them. You don't belittle them. You're going to bear with these differences. You're going to look for the good in them, even when they don't deserve it. You're going to try to build them up, and you're going to accept them, accept one another, even with their flaws. Knowing that we too have flaws and need to be accepted. Knowing that we too needed to be accepted by Christ. But in this passage, Paul uses two words twice. This kind of patience requires endurance and encouragement. Endurance and encouragement. Those are two things needed for a real healthy patience. And so we're going to unpack that a little bit more. But before we do that, I want you to think about why do you not like waiting? And maybe I'm projecting that onto you. Maybe there's some weirdo in here who likes waiting, but I don't like it. And I've realized I like waiting probably less than most people. I really don't like waiting. And I know there's a lot of people who are more okay waiting than I am because I've seen the line at Starbucks. I just don't understand. People risk their lives on South 14th for Starbucks. I'll just get a gross cup of coffee. I like Starbucks, but it's not worth it. I don't like waiting. But I'll tell you why I really feel like I'm exposing what a jerk I am in this sermon, but I feel safe with you guys. So one of the reasons I don't like waiting is because I have something better to do. That's not how I want to spend my time. I'm a busy person. I have better things than to wait for my food, than wait in line, than wait for technology to work correctly. I don't have time for that. I know what I want. I want it now. Don't make me wait. And really what that kind of comes down to is I don't like waiting because I'm really important. I don't like waiting because I'm important. I shouldn't have to wait. The world should kind of revolve around me. And it should meet my needs and my beck and call. And I really think there is you'll see it in this message as we unpack some scriptures. There's a correlation between impatience and pride. And impatience and a sense of self-importance. Another reason I don't like waiting is because it reminds me that I am powerless. I don't have control. If I am waiting, it's because I have no other choice. Because I'll always find a way to not wait. I'll always find a way to speed things up. And if I can't do that, all I can do is sit there and wait. you know, waiting on the checker that's going real slow. Are these good? I don't want to talk about my groceries. Just let me do it. You know, I don't like waiting. Let's go. Hurry this up. Waiting on the government to send me a form. You know, these are things where it's out of my power. I am at the mercy of whoever I'm waiting on. It frustrates me because I don't have the power. I can't make this go any quicker. The only thing I can think to do is to switch lines. You ever done that at the grocery store? Or at the airport security, or the traffic in like Dallas, you switch lanes. That has never worked for me in my life. It has never worked. So I don't like when that happens. But it is kind of funny when it happens to that jerk who like swerved over real hard, and then your line starts moving. You just wave at him. But it is, waiting makes us feel powerless. It hits our pride and says, you're not in control. And the world doesn't revolve around you. But maybe that's not a bad thing. Maybe we need that reminder. Maybe I need that reminder. Hey, you're not as powerful and you're not as important as you think. It's going to be an encouraging message this morning. But I really do think that's a good thing. Sometimes we do need to be brought down a notch. There's a lot of cool passages about patience. I'm going to show you guys a few Proverbs. Proverbs 16:32. It says, better to be patient than powerful. Better to have self-control than to conquer a city. So it contrasts patience with power. They're definitely tied, right? Power makes us impatient. I'm powerful. I shouldn't have to do this. I'm too important. I have too many things to do. I shouldn't have to wait. I should be able to move and manipulate things where I don't have to wait right now. But then it ties impatience kind of to a lack of self-control. I can't wait. I can't handle this. So it takes self-control to be patient. It takes self-control to wait well. And oddly enough, it actually takes, because I think there's this idea that it's, you know, it's the little people that have to wait. It's the unimportant people. It's the powerless people who sit there and wait. But it actually takes a real inner power, a real mental toughness to wait well, to be able to handle waiting. It takes an inner self-control and an inner power to be patient, as opposed to like the other form of power here that says, I know what I want. I'm going to seize this city. There's this outward political power, this control that we all kind of want. But the proverb is saying inner power, inner self-control is better than outward political power, financial power that we often kind of place a higher importance on a lot of times. But there's this inner power where you can wait well and be patient that the scriptures are kind of affirming here. Not being able to wait. Think of the opposite. You ever seen an impatient person or seen an impatient kid? It makes us, and this is harsh, but not being able to wait, if we get used to never waiting, it kind of makes us weak and a little entitled. Instant gratification makes people kind of weak and entitled. You know, and so I've said this before, but never making your kid wait, automatically pacifying them, it's not doing them any favors. And that's from a two-year-old to high school students. We need to learn to wait well. We need to learn delayed gratification. And that does, when you do that, it fosters a powerful sense of self-control. And that's how in life, you're going to have to wait for things. You don't always get what you want. And we need to learn that and learn to live in that. But sometimes the ways of God, doing things the right way, they take patience and time to see results. Results that take a long time, but they're kind of reaped over a lifetime. So a lot of things that we want, you don't see automatic results. So, the one no one likes to talk about, but it's there, is weight loss, right? If you want to lose weight, you can't just be like, you know what, I'm going to work out really hard tomorrow and not eat and then be good. No, it takes time. You can't just hit it hard once. It's something you got to do over a long period of time, and you're not going to see automatic results. And what are we tempted to do when we don't see quick results? We just quit, right? And so you have to have this perseverance to be able to keep pushing through, even when you're not getting the results you want. And sometimes our faith walk is like that. You can't just be like, you know what, tomorrow I'm going to read all Psalms, and then I'm going to have some kind of spiritual enlightenment. Oh, it's something that it takes time and discipline to live a life of a disciple. And those benefits will be reaped over time, but you can't just hit it hard once and think you're okay. It takes patience. And so because of that, we're tempted to quit whenever we don't see quick results with what we do. But we need to learn to be patient, because the things that take a long time to accomplish are worth it. Those are the good things. They're the harder things, but they're the good things. And so this is where we need endurance. Endurance, the ability to push through even when it hurts, even when it's hard, even when you aren't seeing the results you want. Endurance. I know we have some cross-country runners in here. I know Clay was. I know Emery is. I don't know who else did. But most cross-country runners will tell you, it's all in your head. It's all in your head. Yeah, Jim was a cross-country runner. And they say it's all in your head, but I think it's in my knees and in my back. It hurts. And I don't know what cross-country runners tell themselves while they're running, but while I'm running, I'm saying, you should stop. You should stop. You should stop the whole time. It is, but there is a mental toughness there that is really important, and I think that's a great thing for long-distance runners. But really, we need to learn to be uncomfortable some. Some of us like our comfort too much. We never try anything new. We never have a new adventure. And we quit way too soon when we're not getting the results we want. So we need this endurance to push through a little bit of discomfort. And I'll say this on the other hand. Oftentimes, evil, sin, Satan, whatever you want to call it, gives us the quick way to what we want. It gives us the quick, instant gratification way. A way that requires no endurance. So think about like whatever like this big toy is that you want that may cost a lot of money. Maybe you're tempted to instead of wait and save and set aside money and work hard to earn this thing, maybe you steal it. You know, I don't think many of us are tempted to steal in here, but I'll use that as an example. Or maybe you buy it on credit and pay it off for a really long time. Rather than waiting for marriage, you jump the gun. Rather than earning rapport through service and hard work, you try to move up by cutting down others, by bad-mouthing others and putting others below you. So there's a lot of ways that we can do things the wrong way to keep us from waiting to get what we want. But it becomes less, it's less satisfying, and it kind of gives us a twisted version of what we really wanted. So you can see how important it is to be patient and self-controlled and not take the easy way out that sometimes sin gives us that ends up being something that we didn't want in the long run. And so similarly, this is why we need encouragement to not give in, to don't take the easy way out. We need other people to tell us, you're doing great. Hang in there. It will all be worth it. Keep it up. So I do want to challenge you guys. Make sure when you see people doing well in their spiritual walk, in their faith walk, when you see them persevering through hard things, you need to name it and speak it. When you see that mom bringing kids to church by herself, man, you praise her for it. Because that's hard. It's hard getting them ready all by themselves. You tell them you're doing a good job. When you see people remaining faithful through suffering and what feels like unanswered prayers, tell them how that encourages you. It encourages me that you are still remaining faithful through this. When you see someone working through a strained relationship, applaud their humility. You're doing great. So we need to be encouraging each other so that we can wait well. Let's encourage each other as we walk through life together. That's what church should be about. And so I'll ask you this too. What do you do when you are impatient? What do you do when you're impatient? Again, I'm going to out myself here. I get whiny. I get, Paxton, stay out of this. I get irritable. I get irritable and I get mad. And so being impatient, really kind of what it means is being quick to anger. Being impatient is being quick to anger. When I'm impatient, I'm grumpy towards everyone and everything. I might snap at you, even if you had nothing to do with it. I'm mad and frustrated and annoyed at a situation, but I might just burst on whoever comes up to me and says something. I grumble and I create a negative environment. And I've been telling myself, complaining helps nothing. I personally have to realize that helps nothing. And complaining makes a frustrating situation into a nightmare if I'm sitting there griping. So let me share with you guys another proverb that I think is really rich, but it also calls me out and convicts me. And I hope that maybe that does the same for some of you. Proverbs 14:29. Whoever is patient has great understanding, but one who is quick temper displays folly. It's contrasting being quick to anger and slow to anger. Being quick to anger, you've seen people who are quick to anger. You've probably been there. You know, where you're rude to people or complaining loudly, griping at employees, saying, you just look silly. You look kind of dumb. That's how it looks when you're real quick to anger. And that's pretty true, right? That's pretty true. You're kind of displaying kind of how silly you're being. But whoever is patient has great understanding. And to me, that can be a very matter-of-fact statement that's true, but it's also a really deep statement. I think there's a deeper true meaning to this as well. So I can be patient and understanding of people, understanding that sometimes things happen. This person maybe had a hard day and they're being a little more grumpy than normal. Or, sometimes everybody leaves work at the same time and there's traffic, and that's why I'm waiting on this person because they're late. So just understanding people's situations can make you a little more patient with them. And so I think there's a lot of truth in that. And also maybe even understanding my own situation that, hey, sometimes I'm grumpy. Sometimes I'm late. Sometimes people got to be patient with me. And so that kind of understanding can make me more patient with others when they're frustrating me or making me wait on them. There was a man that we were with this week. He's a very wise, very sweet older man, and I think he had some really cool patience that came with great understanding. We were having a devo, and his wife was talking about how, there was this time in my life where I was just making a lot of bad decisions. I was being difficult. I was making life hard for everybody, and I just did a lot of things that I shouldn't. And her sweet husband just kind of quietly chimed in, and he said it mostly just for her, but I heard him. He said, "You were learning. You were learning." And I thought that was really sweet, and that was some understanding. He understood that, yeah, sometimes that's part of life. Sometimes we just make bad decisions, and that's part of growth, and he could kind of see that as a cup is half full thing. And that made him way more patient with her when she was going through this rocky period in her life. But I can also see this there's some understanding. Patience comes with great understanding when we realize this moment that I'm in is not everything. Whatever important thing I have to do that I'm missing because I'm having to wait, in the grand perspective of things, is it that important? It's not that important, and that takes some understanding to kind of realize that. In the moment, this feels like a really big deal, and I'm really mad that I'm having to miss this, but it's not that important. And I can be patient and understanding, I'm not that important. Yeah, I'm important, but not that important. Everything doesn't have to revolve around me and my time schedule. And so as I was studying and praying about how a Christian is to be patient, I see all kinds of correlations with self-control and with power, but I just see a major correlation between patience and humility. Humble people can be very patient. Good patience requires humility. Good patience builds humility. And so I want to kind of leave you guys off with one more really important. This is a New Testament text on patience. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowances for each other's faults because of your love. Man, I think this is such an important text. Such a small, just a small few sentences, but means so much. Humility, understanding, and love make us patient with frustrating people. People who And Paul really, when he makes these statements, like he did in Romans and here, he's trying to get people who are very different to live together in unity, to play nice together. And so this what he's talking about, it should make us be able to be patient and to live in unity with people who have different views than us, different religious views, different political views. And that kind of patience with others, it fosters a real deep unity. And that was what Paul's goal is whenever he makes these statements in Romans and Ephesians. So to be patient is like saying, learn to sit there and not be in control. Learn to sit there and not be in control. It forces us to relinquish whatever power we think we have. And it reminds us that we aren't that in control, that we are powerless. And that's not always a bad thing. I know it sounds negative, but maybe that's actually a really good thing. You're not God. You don't have this power. And in some ways, that's kind of a good thing. It's kind of freeing. Sometimes we just need to know our place, to know you are small. You can't even control small things. But somehow, in all your smallness, in all your powerlessness, there is still a God that has time for you. There is still a God who cares about you. There is still a God who's willing to wait on you. And there's still a God who calls you. So if you're here this morning and you feel like God is waiting on you, is pushing you, is challenging you, your church family's here and we're waiting on you. And we want to pray with you. We want to encourage you. If you want to give your life to Christ in baptism, we can still make that happen. So if you have any need at all, your God is here and your church is here. And we invite you to come now as together we stand and sing.